Amen. I don't know how many people here knew it, but it's a good song. I like it. All right, we're in chapter 3 this week. Hallelujah. I'm just going to do a brief overview of this chapter. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. Most of y'all know this. He was a Gentile physician and the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament. Luke was a companion of the Apostle Paul, and he gives an account of the early church, the miraculous healing of the lame man from birth, demonstrating the authority of Jesus Christ. The apostles' mission, which was to preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cast out demons, and make disciples of all nations. Peter's sermon demonstrated the power of Jesus Christ, the call for repentance and faith among the people. The early apostles' role in spreading the gospel sparked a confrontation with religious authorities, foreshadowing the challenges and the persecutions they would face and how faith in Jesus Christ would bring transformation.
Yeah.
And the Lord knows that we needed that. Amen. So the first verse of chapter 3 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." We know that was 3 p.m. That's what we do know. It was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And he said, "A certain man, lame from birth, was carried daily to the temple to beg alms at the gate called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So everyone that's coming into the temple, someone's going to be asking for alms. And it was that lame man. This lame man was 40 years old at the time this was written. He was 40 years old and lame. Someone in his family had to carry him every day to the temple because that's where he went. Every day, Brother Hall. Now, 40 years old, he's probably going to weigh a little bit more than what he weighed when he was one and lame. But he's still lame at this point. And I still can't fathom carrying a 40-year-old man every day to the temple. But they did. In Acts chapter, well, that's all Acts 3. In verse 4, Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, "Look on us." Peter and John, "Look on us." Now, you know that when he said that, the lame man was looking, expecting some alms. He was holding out that container. He wanted alms. That is how he makes his living, or his family's living, is the alms. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That was a command. Now we know what really happened after that. Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says immediately, there was no break there. That's right, suddenly, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength.
Amen.
And he began to leap, and he stood up. Yeah, he did. He stood up, he walked, and entered with them into the temple. The Bible says, walking and leaping and praising God. That's what he was doing. Peter didn't just speak, he acted by pulling that man up, from his position where he was.
Yeah.
He was on the ground, y'all. He was lame.
Yeah.
He couldn't get up by himself. But that right hand that Peter lifted him up with is a symbol of authority, strength, honor, and it was an act of faith.
Yeah.
Peter knew if he did it, it would happen. And it did. A miracle took place. The people were amazed. I'd have been amazed too if I'd have been there. The lame man was healed, and by this time there were so many folks gathered around. The Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have we been in the presence of the Lord and we were filled with wonder and amazement at what God did?
Oh,
or what God was doing? We've all felt that. We've all seen that. And we've all been partakers of it. Amen. Verse 12 says, when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or our holiness we have made this man walk?" Because he's telling them, look, it's not my power. It's not my strength.
Right.
It's God Almighty's.
God Almighty.
Because he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can heal, set free, and deliver. That is it.
Come on.
He is the only one that can do it.
That's right.
Ooh, I'm about to get excited.
Amen.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. We know that story. They denied him in the presence of Pilate when he wanted to let him go. But when you denied the Holy One, the scripture says, but when you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead. And you're witnesses of that. Real plain, you're witnesses. You already know. You were there when it happened. I wasn't there, but I have the account that was put in Scripture. Peter addressed the crowd, telling them that healing was not by their power.
Right.
It was all about Jesus Christ. It wasn't about them or anybody else. And this next part, you know, I mean, verse 19 tells it like it is. Peter said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And I meditated on that times of refreshing. You know, I think we all have at times. But the times of refreshing is calling us to repentance. That's what it's all about. And that's what gives us spiritual renewal. It gives us restoration. And that brings revival. If we want a revival, then we've got to follow this plan. We have got to get on our knees and repent. And I know that's kind of hard sometimes to get down, because then you got, and the older you get, the harder it is to get back up. So, you know, we have to repent. I don't care if you're sitting in your easy chair at home.
There you go.
If you know there's something in your life that needs to be taken care of, repent.
Oh, yeah.
There's always that. We're humans. And when we repent, we will have that spiritual renewal in our hearts and minds.
Amen.
Then the restoration comes, followed by revival. Because that's how revival starts. You get so excited, you can't wait to get to church because you know that something good is about to happen. Every time we come into this house and we get up to sing or whatever we're doing that day, Sunday, Wednesday night, something good happens. And we have to find that good. We can't just pretend it's all right, but you know. But repentance and renewal will set our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit on fire for God. That's what happens.
Amen.
And I want to be fired up all the time.
Amen.
You know, it's probably not going to happen, but that's what I want. Sometimes you can ask my husband, we can start talking about the Lord, and it's like, Brenda, slow down a minute, slow down a minute. Let me catch up just a little bit. And sometimes it's the other way around. Acts 3 concludes with the apostles' role in spreading the gospel with boldness. We're so timid that we're scared to death to say, Brother, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus?
Come on.
Have you heard that he's in the house?
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
That's what we need to be doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Because he is in the house.
That's
he's
right.
In this house.
That's right.
Of clay.
The
first part of chapter 3 was a documented miracle, no doubt, because we heard it. He went walking and leaping and praising God. I almost started singing that song a while ago. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Most of us have seen or experienced miracles. I have many times. And we've also experienced, and I know every one of us has experienced a healing in their own body. We don't know how it happens, but we know when it happens. We know the day that it happened. We know the day we got saved. You don't forget things like that. Some people don't know the day they got saved. They know they're saved. They just don't remember when. And it's okay. The Lord one day will reveal it to you. So I'm going to give a few testimonies before I finish this page. Our mom and dad were believers. I'm talking about Linda and Tony and I, and we have another brother that's alive, but one that died. Our mom and dad had 5 children. Our oldest brother, his name was George Thomas. And he was born in July of 1956. And he died 21 months later. Linda and I never really got to know him because he was born before us, but we were too little to know. We knew that he would grab our bottles and give them to us. We knew that because Mama told us he did. He had run all over the house to try to help us because there's 2 of us. That's a lot of work. He died in 1958 with liver disease. My mom and dad were devastated. Devastated. We only have pictures of him now. Cute little guy. Curly-headed, big time. Little blonde-headed, curly-headed boy. Then Linda and I were born in August of 57. Linda was born with a heart murmur. She had a hole in her heart, to be quite frank, and she couldn't walk because her legs just couldn't hold her up. And later she received leg braces that attached to special shoes, and I'm sure you've seen those. And the doctor told our mom, she'll never run, walk, or dance. Boy, was that a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. That's what the doctor told Mama. She will never walk, never run, and never dance. Now, y'all know Linda. She definitely knows how to walk. She may not run very much, but I tell you what, she knows how to dance and do an interpretive dance. She knows how to do that because God put that in her heart. And I think that was because of my mama. You know, that's what God did for her. God healed her completely. You know why? Because of the power of prayer.
Come on.
We were living in Tennessee. We had a great evangelistic preacher that preached to our church. Tony don't remember because he wasn't around then. He came later. But God healed her legs completely because of the power of prayer. I felt it then. I feel it now, and it's the same. Tony was born 1962, 5 years later. He had double hernias. His feet were crippled. He was unable to walk, and he also had to wear braces. But God, that's all I can say. God healed Tony completely because of the power of prayer. Amen. How important is prayer? It's very important. Without the power of prayer, are we going to be healed? No, we won't if we don't have the power of prayer behind us, pushing us. And here comes our last little guy, Leslie. Some of y'all know him, and he's a hoodlum, but he's still my brother. He is, I'm just being honest. Leslie's our youngest brother, born in 1965, and he was born with a waterhead. That's what they called him. He was a waterhead baby. It affects the brain and the spinal cord. I believe it. I'm sorry. I did not have that in my notes. He's crazy. But it's not that he doesn't love God. He just likes the world a whole lot more. That's just how it goes. But God healed him because of the power of prayer. We can't get past that because of the power of prayer. The lame man was healed by the power of prayer. That's how he was healed. Sometimes we don't realize the power of prayer in our own lives. We've got to think ahead and remember that there's power in prayer. Where are you going? Never mind. Oh, never mind. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I want faith, I've got to hear the reading of the word, whether it's through my mouth or Brother Hall's mouth or Brother Brandon's mouth or whoever's speaking. We have got to hear the word of God. Healing comes through faith, which can and will transform our lives, both physically and spiritually. You're going to be changed. There's no question there. However, there is a condition. We have to believe. We must believe. If we don't believe, it ain't going to happen. We've got to speak it, Becky. We got to every day declare and claim it. Because if we, that's right, don't take it back. But you gotta speak it with power. You can't just, it's not just a flimsy old thing. You gotta have faith to believe. I gotta figure out where I was. Oh yeah. Healing comes through faith, which will transform our lives both physically and spiritually. But there is one condition. We have to believe. How many times have we prayed not believing that it's going to come? We have to believe. However, there is still a catch. Without believing, we will not receive. So the believing comes with us receiving. We can't receive if we don't believe. And if we're reading the word and we're studying it, we're going to believe. I don't remember a time when I didn't believe because Linda and I would, I just remember us being about this tall. That was a long time ago, Linda. Well, she was a little bit shorter than me all the time. But we were always at church. And then we did our little shout at 2 and 3 years old. Because everybody in the church was shouting. I don't remember when I didn't know. That's why I can say I've served God all my life. We sang our little songs at home. Have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just be real good today. The Lord is right beside you. He'll guide you all the way. Have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Mama taught that to us. We sang it at church at this high. When we ingrain that in our children, when we ingrain that in our adults, when we ingrain it in our spirit man, something happens. Transformation takes place. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we know up front something good is going to happen. Good. I'm not going to sing that song. Every time I look at one of these words I've put down on this paper, I start singing this song, you know. You may not know what, where, when, or how, but it's going to happen if you believe.
Yeah.
We can't stop believing, Brandon.
Right.
We can't stop watching, knowing that one day that sky is going to open up and he's coming for us. Brother Hall's message last Sunday was, what's your story? Man, wasn't that good? He encouraged all of us. This is what he encouraged us. Share your testimony. It don't matter where you're at. You may be a little nervous and want to go hide. But if the opportunity arises, share your testimony. We all have one. And all that means is tell them what God has done in your life. In my life, what has God done? The faithfulness of God leadeth men to repentance. And our faithfulness is obeying God. That's our faithfulness, is obeying God. And when we obey him and then we share with somebody, we're being a testimony to somebody to help them find their way. We know that time is short, and I've heard this all my life. So I know Brandon has too, because I knew his mama, and I know his daddy. His daddy. We have to be about our Father's business. That's what he's called us to do, to reach, to witness, to love on people. Tell them, I believe in you. I know you're going to make it. I know God is with you. Rest in the Lord in that. Don't make it so hard. Because I tell you, there was times when I was making it a little bit hard. That's my opinion. The lame man was healed instantly, and that means he was healed completely at 40 years old. 40 years old, he started walking and leaping and praising God. It was a miracle documented in our Bibles. We don't see that many miracles today. But I've seen miracles. You've seen miracles. We've seen them. You are a miracle, Linda. That's right, you are. Because of the things that happened in our lives, she's a miracle. She got ran over by a car one time, nearly. It definitely capacitated her a little bit. It wasn't good. Yeah. Oh, no. No, she really was not. I have to say this. Linda really was not talkative. Because she had me. So she would tell me. No, not necessarily, but I mean, she would talk to me, but she wasn't going to talk to nobody else. She was really shy. Or I think she was. She got a little older. She wasn't shy at all, but she's not shy anymore. Miracles absolutely transforms our lives, physically and spiritually, just as we saw with this lame man. How many's been touched by God? And you know that if it wouldn't have been without him, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
The day that car hit Linda, nearly ran over her, it was tough. Tony had his share and Linda had her share, and I really didn't have that much. I fell off horses, that's right. I could not stay on a horse. Oh, my gosh. I don't ride them now. But I can testify that miracles have taken place in all of our lives. Everyone that's sitting here right now. We've all had miracles, but we've got to share them. Oh, just because it's 40 years ago doesn't really matter. They don't know. You don't have to give them a number. You can just say, I remember when God touched my heart. I remember the day. Remember that old song, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. You know, I remember that. Thank God I remember something. I'm telling you. Oh. We all have testimonies. And we've all received miracles in our life. No miracle is any greater than the other, but they are different. When I was young, I had really gone through a hard time. Very hard time. I didn't have boyfriends. I had one boyfriend growing up, and he was a hoodlum. So we got away from him. Finally. And I grew up and I just wanted a boyfriend. Linda had all the boyfriends. Yeah. Oops. Truth. But she's about that big around, and you know, and I was as big as I am right now by the time I was 13. You know, that didn't change. I did get bigger. Then I got smaller, and then I got bigger, and then I got smaller. You know how that goes. But God was with me, and I began to pray. I was probably 17, 18, 19 years old, just saying, Lord, I just want a guy. I just want a boyfriend. I just want a boyfriend. And I'm sure you wanted a girlfriend when you were young. And we were at church that day, and I didn't know Gordon. I won't tell this testimony. I did not know Gordon. I knew his mother. I didn't know Gordon because I'd never seen him before. And he walked in the church that day from the side because I think the preacher had been talking to him.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's all I said. He was in trouble. Let me say that.
Oh,
and
let's
yeah. And so here I am way up here, and he's way back there at the back. And it was a kind of a slanted building. You know, you're up and the altar area is down lower, you know. And so that day I had went in to the church. I was at the very back and I looked down and Gordon was on the altar bench. He was sitting on the altar bench. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, "You're going to marry that man and he will protect you all the days of your life." That never changed. And I said, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that." He ain't never looked at my way. I knew all the girls he was chasing. He's shaking his head back there. But the sweet thing was, I got enough guts to go, and I was shaking like a leaf. I went down there, and I said, "I don't know your name, but the Lord told me to pray for you." And he just looked at me. The young people was going to go out that day, that night. Going to go to, I don't know, Pizza Inn, I think it was. Pizza Inn. Yes, yeah, where everybody went then. And so after we went to Pizza Inn and we fellowshiped with everybody, he said, "Hey, why don't we just go to the water park down in Fort Worth?" And I'm thinking, what good is there? What good is that? We knew what the water park was like. But it still was daylight. Nothing happened, you guys. Nothing happened. But I knew in my heart, even though I didn't tell him that for a long time, he was going to be my knight in shining armor. Because I know what happened in my life. I know the things that happened in me. And I knew that if God told me, he would protect me all the days of my life. At any moment, he's going to come up there and put his arm around me to let me know you're safe. That's how I knew I was safe. He would come up and put his arm around my waist, and he didn't say anything. But he knew that's what I needed, Brother Hall, because I had went through lots of abuse. But I'm telling you, God will take bad things in your life, no matter where you are, how old you are, or how young you are. And he will turn it around for good. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe. If you don't believe, you're not going to receive it. And Lord, somebody asked me about him later, and I says, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know him." It was a pretty short, what do you call that, Gordon? Courtship. It was very few months later we were married. But I'm telling you, God, and now it's been, 48 years, almost 49 years. I think it's going to remain. I ain't going nowhere, and I know he's not. We got it too comfortable, so to speak. But I'm telling you what, the lame man received healing when he allowed Peter to pick him up by that right hand and he started walking and leaping and praising God. And I'm telling you, we have the same spirit in us. The same spirit that was in Christ Jesus is also in us.
Amen.
So I think we can learn a whole lot when we take the time to spend with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Wow.